for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. This is not our regular radio TV broadcast time. We're normally live 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. But at approximately 9:55 in the morning on the 18th of February 2010 here in Austin, Texas, the home of our operations in the capital city of the great state of Texas, a small single-engine plane slammed into one of the buildings at the Echelon building complex. There's four buildings. The FBI, the IRS, the CIA, all reportedly have offices in those buildings. And a good hour before the mainstream media began saying this may have been a terrorist attack or a criminal act, I just simply said, look, this is a government complex, a private office complex mainly filled with government offices, similar to Building 7 on 9/11 8-plus years ago. It was a private building, but it had the FBI, CIA, Defense Intelligence in it. And I said, because it is a government-filled installation, that ups the chances that this is a attack of some type. And I said, it could be. I said this in the first hour. It's on record, the 18th of February, 2010. And I noticed we got some emails and I saw some stories with people making fun of us saying, oh, there's Alex Jones again saying it could be a terror attack and saying it could be a false flag. And I said, 50-50 chance that if this is some type of deliberate event, that it's either some disgruntled person or it's staged. Now, I said that the first live show we did after Christmas. Christmas was on a Friday. I do the Sunday show. The 27th of December, I went live on air. And I said, if we find out he bypassed security, someone helped him get on the plane, if we find out there were people on the plane with him, if we find things like that out, this is probably an inside job. Then they simultaneously on Christmas started promoting the naked body scanners that they'd already ordered a year before that were set to go in January a few weeks later, 2010. This is late 2009. And since then, it's come out that it's a complete false flag. Completely. An absolute, total inside operation. The Detroit News, terror suspect kept visa to avoid tipping off larger investigation. Kennedy, the undersecretary for management of the State Department, said an unnamed U.S. intelligence agency told them to let him get on the plane without a passport, without a visa. But that wasn't enough. They had to have the smart-dressed man lead him through security, past the naked body scanners that Amsterdam already had, to get him on the plane. Then somebody from four rows back is videotaping him throughout the entire 16-hour flight from Europe to Michigan. Then the eyewitnesses said once they got him in customs, the bomb-sniffing dog ran over to another man, a black man's bag. They said, oh, there's a bomb. Get out of here. Then the FBI lied and said there was no smart-dressed man. Nobody helped him get on the plane. There was nobody videotaping him. And no one else was arrested once we landed. Turned out that was all lies on record. Now, I'm just giving you a little bit of background from one case before I get into all the new big developments. I told you when the show ended at 3 that we wouldn't be back live until tomorrow unless there were big developments. There have been gigantic developments in the attack in Austin. And I'm going to go over those in a moment. We have been to the guy's house. We've been to his neighbors. I sent Rob Dew and Jason Douglas. They're going to be in studio with us coming up in 30 minutes. I have talked to people I know in Austin that live in apartments nearby. They saw individuals from the FBI out there within seconds. They heard the boom. We have multiple witnesses by name. I've talked to them on and off air. They were out there with video cameras filming everything within seconds. By the time they got to their windows to see the boom, the FBI was outside with cameras. They went down and talked to them, and they said, we are the terror response team. Local Austin News. In fact, that's in Paul Watson's article. Pull that video up, too. It's up on YouTube. Source, FBI knew Austin attack was coming. That's the breaking news coming up. But in there, Paul has the link to the YouTube of KXAN, that's NBC in Austin. A separate witness told KXAN that there were hazmat teams and fire trucks in place across the street before the plane struck the building. This is all coming up. Now, let's go back to the start of the show today at 11 a.m. I come on and I say, I hope it's somebody that had a heart attack and fell on the stick, but witnesses said the plane came low at about 150 feet, accelerated, and went down perfectly into the building. And then I went back to yesterday's show where we had from a high-level source who was with Rick Perry in a meeting that they're worried about states' rights, and Deborah Medina, Alex Jones, Ron Paul, and that we've got to be dealt with. You've seen the dirty tricks against Deborah Medina. Glenn Beck was doing it again today. Because if she wins, it sends shockwaves across the country. The states stand up. When did the feds bomb Oklahoma City? And that's a proven case. They bombed it when Oklahoma and Colorado were leading the charge with over 20 other states to declare 10th Amendment powers and say, we're not under federal control. Stop your unconstitutional taxation and control. That's happening again. Every time this happens, the government stages bombings, mass shootings, and terror attacks to demonize their opposition. Now, what did I say at the start of the show? I said, if it turns out that this is a terror attack or deliberate event, they're going to say it's a Tea Party person. I said back on December 8th, December 9th, and on multiple occasions since then, and we're digging through all the videos. We don't just mark down these predictions. They just come out of me from all my research. Well, I'm asking listeners to go through our YouTube channel. The audio's posted everywhere. Help us. We don't have the staff. I don't even have the staff to go back to the first hour of my TV show and radio show today and get the audio of where in the first hour I said, this is probably going to end up being a so-called Tea Party person. How do I know this? Because I saw the preparatory conditioning on Chris Matthews, Slimeball, Beck, the Ninny, and all the other shows saying 9-11 truthers, and it changed in the last week, not just 9-11 truthers. 9-11 truthers have infiltrated the Tea Party. They've got to be dealt with. They've got to be taken out. They want to kill the president. They want to stage terror attacks. Mark my words, Beck said, many others, as a talking point. I saw it simultaneously on other channels, out of nowhere, made no sense, unless you understand. Then I saw him in the last 2 days, we posted these videos, start saying and putting Deborah Medina up on the chalkboard next to terrorist and saying next to weathermen bombers. And now he put up Phil Berg. I want to get Phil Berg on the next few days. I'm meaning to do that. Write a note. And putting him up there with him and saying the birthers are dangerous and want violence. Tonight, I wasn't even intending to tune in. We had it on Fox. There he was saying the number one threat is the birthers. Over half of Republicans in polls question Obama's birth certificate because he did have the name Barisitaro. People are now learning this. He did have another fake name. He did go to these mosques. He did get raised in Islamic schools. I mean, you know, the point is there's something going on here. Where does Beck get it that they're going to be violent? I saw him tonight say, and I watched 5 minutes of it. It was an hour show. I was busy on the phone with witnesses and guys bringing in video from going to the supposed kamikaze attacker's house who supposedly attacked Austin. I mean, it's like a war room in here. And there's Beck on the TV in the studio control room saying, here's Deborah Medina. Here's Phil Berg of the birthers. These people are dangerous. And I heard him say, the birthers are the most dangerous. See, he gets your confidence and then stabs you in the back. That's what Fox News is designed to do. All right, all right. I got to start going through the evidence now. It's just, I'm trying to give you a small picture of all the info I have and how I collate it, knowing how the globalists operate, knowing what their past programs are, knowing their modus operandi. They are criminals. And if you study criminal psychology, these are genius criminals. They repeat the same things in different variants over and over again. They're very pathological, very obsessive compulsive. Now, I go on air and I say, watch, it's going to be a Tea Party person. It's going to be some anti-government, anti-IRS person. And then lo and behold, hours later, I'm proven right. When are people going to start really listening to me? I believe what I'm saying. We have an incredibly accurate track record. We know what we're doing. When I tell you a high-level source called me to warn me that Perry says he's basically coming after me and the Republicans understand what's happening, because who else understands these people? Who else has done the studying? I'm in danger, ladies and gentlemen. So is Ron Paul. So is Deborah Medina. These Karl Rove ran the dirty tricks for Nixon. Karl Rove ran all these other dirty. He puts innocent governor in Alabama in prison. That came out mainstream news. He had to be released. They don't play games. Texas is one of the wealthiest states, the second most populated, the second richest, about to be the number one. California's imploding. They're getting hundreds of billions in roads. They're taking over for toll roads, tens of billions in energy scams they're running. They want to control this state, and they'll do whatever they have to keep that phony Rick Perry in. God forbid these people kill me or set me up. Please support me, folks. After that happens, I mean, this is so real what's happening. This is so hardcore. Now, continuing here, I wrote some notes before we went live. Let me just read you the notes I've got so you understand what we're facing. They have done this before. I told you at 11 a.m. this morning, we've been proven right. They're now saying, I said at 11, they're going to want to shut down small airports and general aviation. That's now been announced. You guys print me that article? Moves to, quote, shut down the loopholes of security at small airports. Now they're saying, see, we need body scanners everywhere and on the streets. And they launched a nationwide program of TSA on the streets of America running checkpoints. That was on the news today. We wrote an article about it this morning before this happened. Fourth Amendment trash as airport tyranny hits the streets. FBI ordered this guy's website taken down where he posted his manifesto. Where he posted his manifesto. I said before that even happened, if they take it down, it's because they know good computer people can get into his site and find out if somebody else posted this supposed suicide letter manifesto. Then we went and talked to the neighbors. They've been told, don't talk to anybody. If you'd have got here earlier, they said, we'd talk to you, but we've already made a commitment not to talk to anybody. Who told you that? Well, we're not going to tell you. Glenn Beck's involved in more treason. He went through this whole thing of, we don't know who this guy is. He showed a picture of just a blacked out silhouette. Is he a liberal? Is he a progressive? Is he a conservative? Is he a radical constitutionalist? And then he went and put the image of the kamikaze attacker on the right-wing side of the chalkboard. The message was, he's a constitutionalist. And then he went in to say the number one threat is the birthers. They want violence. They're getting ready to set you up, birthers. And now I'm starting to think, and I've kind of just investigated it, said there's some evidence, but I don't know. Now I'm pretty sure there is something going on with Obama. Because if they've got their operative back defending Obama this way, we're in deep trouble. What a bold move. More than half of Republicans, not to mention Tea Party people, are questioning his birth certificate and Beck saying they're terrorists. This is unbelievable. I mean, I can't believe what I'm saying. And he's a mouthpiece, so what he says is important. Get a lot of intel from it. Time Magazine. Time Magazine runs the headline, the Austin plane incident, an attack on the IRS and attacks Tea Parties. Other headlines say this is a black eye for the Tea Parties. It's everywhere. The Obama sites, everywhere. Corporate media blames kamikaze attack on Tea Parties. Key article, prisonplanet.com. Now, I want to go through this piece by piece. Why do I immediately, when a plane crashes into a government-filled office park, government installation, government agency-filled area, why do I immediately come out and say this may be staged? Well, why did I say repeatedly in the last few months they're going to stage attacks on government installations in Austin and blame it on the Patriot movement? Because, ladies and gentlemen, when I tell you we have people showing up at our office after the governor's mansion was firebombed with police out in the parking lot trying to set us up and give us a box full of stuff and saying they worked at the mansion and they're a suspect but they're not involved and they're big fans, then I find out the same federal informant that set up people with Molotov cocktails at the RNC gives interviews to NPR admitting it, and then now activists in Austin say he tried to get them to firebomb Brave New Books that my listeners started and that promotes what we do. And then I find out this same informant's hanging out with a Palestinian professor who slit his own throat, cut himself open, tied his own arms and hands in duct tape and threw himself in the river. When I find out from a high-level person who's a household name that met with Perry that they're coming after us and worried about Ron Paul, Alex Jones, and Deborah Medina and the states' rights movement, they're getting ready to come after us, and I get this warning yesterday, I mean, I'm telling you, I know how they operate. I told you at 11 a.m. this was probably going to be blamed on the Tea Party. How did I know that? Because this is all I do. I get in the mind of the enemy. I understand how they operate. This is what we do here. And I'll tell you, my sixth sense has never been this hyped up. I mean, I am concerned. My wife couldn't sleep last night. She was concerned for the family. She didn't know why. We got up at 4 a.m. again, walking around the house. Something big's about to happen. Something big. Boom! I mean, you know, it's more than just data. Everybody's got it. It's instinct. It's discernment. It's understanding. Now, let me give you the latest developments, ladies and gentlemen. You guys have the local news station with the witness saying that the fire trucks and police were there before the attack happened. Remember what happened on 9/11, and there's literally hundreds of other examples. That's the problem. There's too much proof. See, when you study this, you have it all. I'm trying to give it to you if you're not aware. Remember Kennedy, one of the Homeland Security sub-directors, well, FEMA directors at that time, he said, yeah, we deployed in downtown Manhattan around the World Trade Center the night before on September 10th. People said, oh, that's a misspoke. And then Giuliani said, oh, that's a misspoke. And then he turned out he'd done two interviews on 9/11 himself saying, yeah, they deployed for an anti-terror drill for an attack on the World Trade Centers the morning of 9/11 before it happened. And it's now confirmed and declassified. It was called Tripod 2. So you got fire trucks and police and the FBI anti-terrorism squad out there before this happens. And we're only, I don't know, 9, 10, 11, 12. We're like 7, 8 hours after. It's at 9:55. It's 5:52 right now. We're less than 9 hours out, 8 hours out, and we already are getting a very clear picture here. And believe me, I wish it was a lone nut. I wish, believe me, I'm sick of it. I wish the Christmas Day thing was a lone crazy. That's a lot less scary than a big criminal military-industrial complex waging war on the planet, taking over the planet, setting up naked body scanners and control grids and FEMA camps. I wish this wasn't real. Every day. You think it was fun hearing Perry's targeting me? I came in here to the office and was so angry I wasn't even paying attention and had a phone and just broke it in two. The guys were like, how the hell did you know? I mean, that's the level of stress I'm under, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just sitting there thinking about this before I went on air yesterday, realizing something big was coming. I went, tsh-. Like, bring that phone in here. We still have it. We throw it away. The point is, ladies and gentlemen, this is the real world. This is really happening. Here is the big breaking news. I've given you some of the background. Source, PrisonPlanet.com, right now, headline. Source, FBI knew Austin attack was coming. A trusted source has told this office. I wish I could tell you more. I wish I could tell you what this source yesterday told me even more about Glenn Beck. All right, I'm saying too much. I just, now it's just, I just have them. The trusted source has told this office that the FBI knew Austin was going to be attacked today and had dispatched officers from its Dallas headquarters yesterday afternoon to be in place for today's incident. Did you hear that? Dallas office dispatched agents yesterday afternoon to be on the ground in Austin. We heard this in 1996 after the Oklahoma City bombing in 95, and then it was declassified 7 years ago that the FBI anti-terror unit was in Oklahoma City, was running a drill, the BATF was there, federal offices everywhere were told to evacuate except for Oklahoma City, Alfred P. Murrah Building. And I was even talking to one of my employees whose dad worked at a federal building back in 95 that morning. They were told to get out in Dallas. I mean, I already know all this, but I mean, I've got people that work here that their daddy told them about it. That's WorldNet Daily, Associated Press, Reuters, you name it. Wait, you just discovered you knew him? His picture has now been released, and Rob Dew knows him. Whoa. Yeah, it turns out he knows somebody, it looks like at a local radio station we work with, who was in the same hangar. Well, we're not going to talk about it yet. Just you guys are about to, you look freaked out, man. I mean, we're in Austin, folks. We're here. We have hundreds of thousands of listeners in Central Texas. They're all giving us the intel. In fact, get his picture. It's been on the news for an hour and a half. Can we find Joseph Andrew Stack? The news keeps saying Joseph Andrew. On his tax records, it's Andrew Joseph Stack. But the news says Joe Stack. Whatever. Here's Dew's note. I knew this guy. Yeah, when I saw his picture on the news an hour and a half ago on Fox, I've seen that hat. I've seen that face. You know, they got that saying, no rest for the wicked. I don't feel wicked. I feel like a good guy. Why the hell? I was telling my wife, I'm going to take off a few days next week. I'm going to take the kids fishing. My kids beg for me to be home. I just love them. That's him? Is that a photo you have, Dew? Yeah, Dew is a musician in town with several bands. He says he knows this guy. Good God. There he is. Andrew Joseph Stack, known as Joe Stack. Okay. Again, we're live if you just tuned in. Special broadcast, not on the AM and FM dial, global shortwave satellite, just on the Infowars.com audio streams, but tens of thousands listening right now. And this will be uploaded to PrisonPlanet.tv right after we're done. For everybody that wants to archive it, watch the video, listen to the audio, go back over it. Even though this is really dangerous, what we're doing, it's good to be alive. It's good to be on the side of right. It's good to be informed. It's good to be detectives for the people, really investigating what's happening. Source. This is the big, big breaking news. Source. FBI knew Austin attack was coming. Dallas office dispatched agents yesterday afternoon to be on the ground in Austin. A trusted source has told this office that the FBI knew Austin was going to be attacked today and then dispatched officers from its Dallas headquarters yesterday afternoon to be in place for today's incident. The source claims, and we know this source and they've done good work in the past. That's what's scary. I wish this wasn't true. The source claims a confidential memo was circulated yesterday detailing that a building in Austin was going to be the target of an attack today. He was told this by an informant who works in the Dallas FBI office. Remember, we have informants that gave us the MIAC and Homeland Security reports. People didn't believe that for 4 or 5 days was real. Is it real? Is it real? Folks, you can't believe the intel that comes across. It's oceans of it. I can't even handle it anymore. Vetting it, checking it, just drowning in evidence. We've got FEMA camp construction workers ready to come on. I mean, I just can't. 4 FBI agents hurriedly left the Dallas office yesterday to be ready and on the scene for the aftermath of the incident, according to the informant, who was shaken when he saw events unfolding today and put two and two together. He called our source this morning. We cannot confirm the accuracy of this claim, but the source is known to us and has no motivation for inventing the story. The fact that the pilot, Joe Stack, changed his manifesto 27 times before the final version suggests that he had been waiting and been writing it for days and could have been what tipped off the FBI in the buildup to the attack. This could be a strange coincidence that Glenn Beck and all these other people are putting out the talking points that Tea Party terrorists are about to strike, but I'm Glenn Beck. I'm Benedict Arnold. You can trust me. It could be it's all a coincidence. It could be that we're wrong. He could just be a lone nut. Could be. Could be. But it's gone from 50-50 that it's a lone nut or a staged event to 75-25, 75 staged, 25 not staged. Pretty soon it'll be 99.9, unfortunately, if this evidence continues to go this way, just like the underwear bomber is. The fact that pilot Joe Stack changes manifesto at least 27 times before the final version suggests that he had been writing it for days, and this could have been what tipped off the FBI in the buildup to the attack. So they could have just responded to something real, and they didn't know. They knew it was an IRS building. There's several in Austin, and they had people standing by, and he had his own private hangar. Why didn't they go there and stop him? They knew that. That kind of undermines them, doesn't it? That they knew he had a private hangar, at least with some other folks. He was there. Why didn't they go out to the hangar? Maybe he moved the plane before. I mean, it just doesn't look good for him. Oh, this is... I'm in a science fiction movie. I'm living in a science fiction Twilight Zone event. I am. Glenn Beck tonight called himself a founding father. I couldn't believe it. He said, I am your founding father. You're either with George Washington or with the terrorist. He's copying me, but twisting it. I've said you're either with the spirit of 1776 and George Washington or with the New World Order. I can't handle it, man. The fact that Joe Stack changed his manifesto at least 27 times before the final version suggests that he had been writing it for days, and this could have been what tipped off the FBI to build up to the attack. The claim dovetails with reports we're receiving from Austin residents. We have their names here. I even know one of them. The FBI were immediately on the scene after the plane crash and were filming both the building and eyewitnesses. Continuing. A separate witness told KXAN News, and we're going to play that in a moment. You have it ready, correct? That there were hazmat. How long is that video? Okay, good. A separate witness told KXAN News that there were hazmat teams and fire trucks in place across the street before the plane struck the building. InfoWars reporters who spoke with neighbors at Stack's house, which he had burned to the ground before crashing the plane, expressed surprise at how quick emergency services responded to the fire. One neighbor, named Albert, said the emergency crews arrived 5 minutes ahead of he made the 9/11 call. Whether the attack was the work of a lone individual are part of a larger setup, the aftermath is being exploited to the fullest by the corporate media and people like Glenn Beck, who are blaming the incident on constitutionalists and the liberty movement. We have a link to that. Implying that anyone who shares any of these grievances outlined in Stack's lengthy manifesto are intent on crashing planes into buildings. Of course, the previous staged terror attack, the Christmas Day underwear bombing incident, was proven to be a setup, and the authorities repeatedly had to change their cover story after eyewitness Kurt Haskell and others, who were initially derided by the media, were eventually proven right in the fact that the bomber was allowed to board Flight 253 by order of the State Department. We are providing the following tip line in Austin to send their eyewitness and news tips about this incident to 512-646-4444. All right, I'm going to play a few minutes of the KXAN with them saying the emergency crews were already there. This happened on Oklahoma City. That came out in congressional and state hearings, that they were already parked, ready, there beforehand. And the BATF showed up seconds after telling a doctor that stopped, bandage me up. I was up on the top floor. I'm hurt. The doctor said, hell no. And cops showed up and started, and they killed some of them, like Terrence Yakey. Called his partner and said, feds are following me, and they tortured him to death. These folks don't play games, and they want to scare you into submission and demonize the Tea Party movement because it's the most vocal, mobilized people against this tyranny. We're going to play this local TV clip. Then I'm going to get our guest in here, our witnesses, Rob Dew, Jason Douglas. In fact, let's play the part of the KXAN, then fade it down almost immediately. So I'm going to take a break and get them in studio and then play a few minutes of me on Russia Today just an hour or two ago, I guess now 3 hours. Gosh, time flies. About 3:15, breaking down what happened on international television. So we'll be right back here in a moment. Here is KXAN, ladies and gentlemen. This is key. Watch that screen.
One thing I would like to say is that I know the fire department got here real fast because they actually had an engine sitting over there that just happened to be doing something with hazmat. So they were over here like right away. So I guess that's the one good thing.
Yeah. Well, Megan, thank you so much again. It's always great to have an eyewitness account and unfortunately on a morning like this, but we thank you for your perspective this morning. Thank you, Megan. All right, Megan Riley, this morning, who actually saw this plane come across, she said about 50 feet from the ground, an amazing perspective. If you're familiar with this area at all, you know where the Dave and Buster's is. Many people have seen that driving by on Mopac. You know where the Dave and Buster's. She was in that parking lot, and she saw the plane fly from north to south. She didn't see it hit this building, in fact, but she saw the big explosion afterwards. Lots of people like that around here this morning. If you're not familiar, we also talked to a trained pilot who actually saw the plane actually hit the building. He said it was a Cherokee 140. He's actually flown that exact plane before. He was visibly shaken and shaking this morning after seeing that amazing sight. Just an amazing sight this morning.
And it shot right across the road. It was going really fast. Those aren't fast airplanes. They cruise about 115. Mm-hmm. And it sounded like the engine was on full blast. Of course, I can't testify to that, right. But it sure was hauling.
Oh, man.
It was a really speedy dive. And it whacked into right between the first and second floor of Echelon 3.
Can you show me exactly where, can you show our viewers you believe that plane hit?
See the white smoke?
Yeah.
It's right there. It's that hole.
Start with breaking news. Federal investigators are at a fiery scene in Austin, Texas, where the pilot of a small plane slammed into a seven-story building, which houses offices for the Internal Revenue Service and the CIA. Video from a traffic camera shows heavy smoke coming from the building. Investigators say the Cherokee 140 plane hit the building at 9:46 a.m. Central Time. The pilot has been identified as Joseph Andrew Stack. Two people were injured and a third remains unaccounted for. Federal officials say the IRS and the CIA have offices in this complex. It's the reason why F-16 jets scrambled to the scene. In a strange twist, Austin firefighters were called to Stack's home, which he allegedly set on fire just before this. For more on this breaking news story, we turn to Austin, Texas radio host Alex Jones. Alex, you are in Austin, and all day we've been hearing about this, and we've also been hearing some contradicting reports about whether or not this crash was intentional, and repeated statements from the media that this was not an act of terrorism. But let's talk about this for a second. This is a guy who was upset with the U.S. government, Big Brother, taxes, bailouts, etc. Why isn't this a case of domestic terrorism?
Well, it's clear that this was intentional. Right now, that's 95% chance. He posted a manifesto on his own business site, or someone did, claiming to be him, saying that he was going to go after the government, and it was basically a manifesto slash suicide letter. The FBI has ordered the internet service company that he had his servers with to take down his website. We actually broke this news about 4 hours ago, 3.5 hours ago. The Austin American Statesman then confirmed it. And the FBI is saying that it was, right now it looks like an intentional act, but they're not calling it terrorism. They're calling it a criminal act. But for the first few hours, they weren't sure. First, they said that he had stolen the plane. Now they're saying that he didn't steal the plane. The bigger issue here is that we've been aware of federal operations in Texas to demonize the Tea Parties and the states' rights movement. I've had this from the highest sources, people that have talked directly to Rick Perry, that he wants to target myself, Deborah Medina running for governor, and Ron Paul to try to demonize us. We've seen talking points lately saying the Tea Parties are going to stage some type of terror event. And then you have this suspicious incident where the government facilities, a government building with FBI and IRS and other secretive agencies based in there. You have this happen. It is very, very suspicious. It may be a disgruntled, angry person who was shaken down by the oppressive tax authorities. Our own Treasury Secretary doesn't even pay taxes, but he makes everybody else pay them, and they keep raising them as we go into a depression and people go bankrupt. So it may be a real attack by someone that was angry at the government. Certainly that does happen sometimes. Or this may be a false flag staged event. And we know the Christmas event has now been confirmed, that the CIA ordered the State Department to let the underwear bomber on the plane and protected him, got him through security. That has now been confirmed after a month and a half of the FBI denying it. And so we had Vice President Biden saying 2 days ago he's worried about lone nut terrorists. These guys love to telegraph what they're going to do before they do it. This may be another Reichstagian false flag event, because the entire system, the controlled right wing, the controlled left wing, are panicking because populists are taking over the states. State governments are passing resolutions saying no to the federal government that's been hijacked by foreign banks, saying no to the oligarchs.
Alex,
and the
I want to step in for a second here. I want to hear about what people are saying in Austin. I mean, that's where you are. Is this frustration and anger with the IRS more widespread than what we're actually hearing about?
It's absolutely widespread. People are angry. They are upset. Our property values on average have gone down by more than 30% in the U.S., 20% in Austin, but our property taxes go up. There's more police, more tickets, more fines, more bills, more business taxes. The people are being pushed into bankruptcy. We've had nationwide sales tax receipts in the last year down by over 14%. That's a U.S. record. And the banks continue to rob and to steal from the people. And so, yes, there is massive anger at the IRS, the private collection agency for the private Federal Reserve. We didn't have the income tax until 1913 when the private Federal Reserve took over. Most Americans were exempt from income tax until 1951. And so, yes, there is major anger, but it's being focused into peaceful takeover of the states via the legislatures. And the last time the people were peacefully taking the states back, which control the federal government, the government staged the Oklahoma City bombing in 1995 to demonize the Tea Party movement under another name at that time. And so, yes, there's major anger, but people are constructively taking their cities, their counties, and their states back right now. And that's why for the last 2 months, I've been predicting a staged terror attack in Austin, because we had the intel the government was getting ready to do it.
All right. Alex Jones, radio host, joining us from Austin, Texas, with that plane that crashed into the building that houses the IRS. Thanks so much, Alex.
Okay, we're live at 6:12 Central Standard Time, 6:12 p.m. and 27 seconds. That was from 3:15 or so Central today when I was in Russia today. Now, let's be clear here. I heard Mike Rivero just scanning through the dial on local Austin radio, Genesis talk show host. He formerly worked with Big Media News. He started What Really Happened in like 95, exposed the government for Vince Foster and things, lost his contacts. But he said what I already knew and what has been in many journalistic publications. There were over 1,000 bombings and terror attacks in the 60s and 70s that were real. Some were staged by government. Most were real. communist groups, Black Panthers, others. And when you have a real terror attack, the news has an agreement with the government, and Mike was talking about this, to not cover it. There have been massive attacks against IRS buildings over the years. But when you have a real attack, they don't give attention to the terrorist. When you have a staged attack, you see a massive media blitzkrieg all over the world, all over the U.S., all over Europe. All you're seeing is this. All you're hearing is this. Now, it's not up on Infowars.com yet. We're having server problems from so much traffic. Our webmasters are locked out. It's up on PrisonPlanet.com right now. Get this article out to everybody in case we have other problems with that site. Source, FBI knew Austin attack was coming. Read the article. Then we have the KXAN reporting with eyewitnesses. Yeah, they were already fire trucks and police. I saw them out here, wonder what was going on, and then the plane came. On local Austin news this morning after 9:55 when it happened, they have all these highway cameras. I used to live right up by that building, a couple miles from it. They had highway cameras on the building. The FBI went around to all the businesses and seized those. We know they've gone to the neighborhood where this guy lived. Told everybody to shut up. Now, joining us are eyewitnesses. They were down at the building. They went to this Joe Stack's house. They talked to neighbors. Neighbors said, hey, have you been here earlier? We talked to you. We've made commitments not to talk now. That's the FBI. And then looking at his photo on the news, Joe Stack, this is the live music capital of the world. He was a guitarist and a synthesizer player. Rob Dew. Rob Dew has even made some of the music for our films. Rob Dew knew him. Not well, but knew him. So let's break all this down with Jason Douglas, Rob Dew, videographers, webmasters, researchers, producers. Everybody does everything here. I cross-train everybody. You guys were down there today. That's a separate issue. Right now, what did you see? What happened when you went to his house? And then, Dew, you knew him. Let's break this down right now.
All right. Well, when we went to his house, we pulled up. There was media everywhere. A fire truck was there. So we got out, got the cameras out, started shooting. We didn't really see anybody. There wasn't a huge crowd of neighbors. There was more media. And then as it was kind of unfolding, more people started showing up. But I noticed two guys standing not next door to Joe's house, but there was a house in between there. So it was one neighbor over. It was an older gentleman and then a guy who was kind of dressed nice, you know. He had a sport coat on, was a little younger. So I walked up to him and said, hey, you know, did you guys, you know, live here in the neighborhood? Did you know this guy? And at the time, I didn't realize I knew him. But the sharp dressed guy, I guess we'll call him that, he said it's morally and ethically, morally and ethically objecting to talking to you right now. And I was like, what does that mean? He goes, well, I'm going to ask the questions because I'm not going to answer any. And I said, well, why can't you answer questions? He said, well, if you would have got here earlier, I would have answered some questions. So I took that to mean somebody told him not to talk about Mr. Stack. And then before that, we'd gone to the building that he hid. And why don't you talk about that, Jason, because you actually saw that area a little bit before I did.
Yeah, well, actually, when we got there, the police weren't being cooperative at all. I just walked across. We were told by two, you know, regular police officers that as long as we could approach the caution tape, but as long as we didn't go on the other side, we were cool. And immediately, you know, I get swamped by the state police who's standing there telling me, oh, I can't be anywhere around here. You know, I let them know I'm with the media. They don't tell me where the press tent is or anything. Right at that moment, there was a press conference going on. So I take off. Walk down some stairs, try to get into the back of the building. And that's when Leffingwell comes out, Acevedo, and the...
That's the police chief and mayor.
Right. And then also the fire chief.
Basically, ADL employees.
Yeah, we actually split up from where we were. He was going to go around one direction. I was going to go around the other to see who could get the best view. And I got blocked off at one point where they weren't letting anybody walking. So I turned around and went back, and then I caught up with Jason.
All right, but let's go back first. What did his house look like? Who was there? What was going on?
It was, I would say, it wasn't upper middle class, but it was definitely a middle class type neighborhood. You know, everybody's got nice lawns, nice two-story houses, mostly brick.
Was his house burned down?
His house was completely burnt down.
The only thing that's left is really the brick.
And from what I know, I know this guy. He was smart. He was a very smart guy. I didn't really know him to be very political.
Yeah, let's be clear. You knew him. Break it all down.
Yeah. Well, the last house I lived in, I had a neighbor who was a musician, and we played a lot. And I would sub in for his band for when his bass player couldn't make it. And Joe Stack was the keyboard player. And I knew Joe fairly well. I knew he was a pilot. And I didn't really put any of this together until I saw the picture. That's when. But I remember we were driving around. I'm like, I know a Joe Stack. This can't be the same guy. This is weird, you know, but I know a Joe Stack. Did I know him in Pennsylvania? I just knew I played music with a guy named Joe Stack at some point in my life. And then when I look at the pictures, you know, he's a short guy with glasses and gray hair, and that's him. And I'm kind of amazed because, I talked to my buddy who ran the band, and I called him up. I said, did you hear about Joe? And he's in Houston. He said, yeah, it's crazy. He goes, out of all the people in my band, he always had his stuff together. I never knew him to be, you know, he would be the last guy I would think to take a plane. And he had flown in this plane with him. He said he used to fly us down to San Antonio. And he was a software engineer, he recorded music. And so basically his house was, although you could see in the garage, that wasn't totally destroyed, but the upper floor was totally destroyed. There was maybe a few parts of walls left up there. And from what we were gathering, there was a guy who's the neighbor, Albert, who said he called the cops, or he called 911 at about between 9:15 and 9:30. He wasn't exactly sure, but he said they arrived within 5 minutes, the fire department. I talked to a lady who didn't want to be on camera. The two neighbors directly next door, they weren't answering the doors, but the ones on the other sides, the one guy's name was Albert, and then there was this other lady who actually left for work at 8:45 in the morning and didn't see a fire. And then she was told, well, apparently it was going on when she left for work. She just didn't notice.
This is today.
This is today, this morning.
Well, where is this in Austin?
This is north in, off of, Palmer Lane, which is north of where he hit. And apparently he flew out of Georgetown Airport.
So it isn't on fire at
8:45.
He drives to Georgetown during traffic. That's got to take an hour.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then
he hits it.
So 8:45, 9:45, he gets in the plane. I guess he could in 10 minutes fly down south at 9:55 and hit it.
Yeah. Yeah. And
set it right at 9:45.
Sure. Well, the neighbor, when he went outside, he saw flames pouring out of the place because they heard this sound. It was the sound that they were alerted to. They heard this weird sound. He walked outside. He saw flames coming out of the windows, called the fire department.
Because he didn't want to give the IRS the house.
Probably it. Yeah.
If he's just a crazy and not listen, Operation Northwoods, everyone should read it. ABC News, Library of Congress, Baltimore Sun, Associated Press, U.S. government plan to terrorize cities as pretext for war with Cuba. They said they would have CIA operatives, and that's the kind of folks they have, the quiet guy, stage their death. They would get on a plane. It would land somewhere else. A similar plane would be remote controlled and then to be blamed. And we know on 9/11, they brought the hijackers in. They protected them. They gave them visas. They were trained at U.S. military bases. Then this happened. So we know it's an inside job. We don't know the details. It's the same thing over and over again. It could be he was a lone nut and did this. But you see this whole buildup and me freaking out around the office saying, they're about to hit. Am I normally like that, Rob?
No, usually, you know, I mean,
what have I been like?
You're yourself, but
what have I been like lately? I mean, have I been telling you guys?
Oh, yeah, you've been saying it. It's been, yeah, you've been making those predictions and
on air, but
yeah, usually you don't say, you know, I'm predicting this, you know, but when you start doing that, that's when, you know, stuff seems to, you know, happen.
And it's more than just the data. I mean, it is the data, but it's like I start waking up in the middle of the night. I start when they launch a new, and like Beck, I can't stand to watch him. I just know he's evil. And then I watch and it's pure evil. And I mean, tonight he was saying this is a constitutionalist, the birthers are the number one enemy, they're terrorists, we've got to get them. I mean, again, if Oberman said that, people would ignore him, but it's Beck who we can trust. He's one of us.
Yeah. The last time I saw Joe was at a show that I actually videotaped for the band. You know, I was doing...
You got to get this video in here. We got to get this on the air.
Yeah, yeah. I've got like, close-ups of him playing piano solo.
Tomorrow.
So I've got great stuff.
Can you get it on by tomorrow?
I got to look for it because it's in a box somewhere, but I know I can find it. And I'm totally, you know, just he never he didn't seem like the type of guy that would do that. And you know, just seeing that 20 minutes ago on the computer, I totally freaked out. I'm like, I know this guy.
You were really freaked out when you came in.
Oh, I handed that to you.
Here's the note. In fact, let's get a document cam shot of this note. I knew this guy, and you look like you've seen a ghost.
It really does, because you know, when you know and you play music with people, you know, musicians are, you know, kind of a weird bunch, I guess, but you don't think, yeah, they're usually mellow. And Joe was a very laid back guy. He wasn't, you know, I'm kind of an outgoing guy. He wasn't like that. He was very, you know, I'm going to get down and play my solo. Here's my solo. You know, he was into Steely Dan and stuff like that. You know, that's what I remember of him being.
All right. Listen, so. I'm going to be back live 11 a.m. tomorrow. You guys have done a great job today. The whole crew has. I'll be back live tomorrow, 11 a.m. We'll have new developments then. I'm going to do some more work and some more research here, some more witnesses. We've got the hotline. People are calling. A lot of great tips, a lot of great info we're tracking down. Great job to Kurt Nemo, Paul Watson, Steve Watson, Aaron Dykes, the whole crew at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Again, we have a server problem, unable to really update at InfoWars.com, so go to PrisonPlanet.com where we have the updates. But in the last few minutes we have before we go to break and go back to the rebroadcast where I was breaking this down, but we're live right now, folks, at 6:24 Central Time, 7:24 Eastern. I guess that'd be 5:24 Mountain, 4:24 Pacific. I want you guys, any other comments you've got about today, any other points you've got?
One more about the I don't know if it was the fire chief or the spokesperson for the fire department was talking about how they were afraid the building was going to collapse. She mentioned that somebody asked that question. They said, yes, we were afraid of that because we've seen this happen in the past.
Exactly. Until 9/11, they don't collapse. Now there's a little fire. They go, oh, it will collapse.
And she was talking about it as though it was plural. This has happened many times before.
Yeah. Yes, only on 9/11. But now all the science has changed. They've changed insurance of buildings now. They believe a Bic lighter burns down steel buildings.
I mean, but we were joking that, you know, steel is softer than wood.
Yeah.
But I mean, make your point. Go ahead.
So, you know, so listening to her say that, you know, they pulled and I guess they have some new procedure built in for that contingency because they pull everybody back and they do a defensive fire and especially if they didn't think people were inside. And from the last report that I heard, there's only one person that was unaccounted for and they weren't sure if that person even went into work that day.
Guys, I want you to put the article up on screen. Source, FBI knew Austin attack was coming. Dallas office dispatched agents yesterday afternoon to be on the ground in Austin. This is big. And then you've got the other KXAN-TV reporting basically the same thing about them already having fire trucks and police. Do people realize the magnitude of this piece of information? We've got to get this out day one. We've got to start investigation now. We've got to have more witnesses. We've got to follow this because they're in the news saying we're going to start shutting down the small airports. You can't let people not go through body scanners to get in their own planes. You can't have slaves doing that. After all, major cities are saying ban gardens. People might grow pot. You can't have slaves having their own gardens. Corporate media blames kamikaze attack on tea parties. It's all over the news. I said hour one that if it's big and promoted and if they're already ready and organized and say it's the tea parties, get ready. It's a staged event. I got some emails, saw some websites. Oh, look at Jones saying it's Austin and it's a staged event. Ridiculous. It's a heart attack. And then, well, he's right about that, but still screw him. You know, the governor isn't after him. Nobody knows who he is. You know, this is really going on. I mean, this is real, folks. This affects everybody. They love to stage events against themselves, not just to scare the public into submission, but to create the culture of paranoia and the feds of the public's your enemy. And you've got to, I mean, this is a psyop, and I'm pretty sure this is staged in my gut, which is never wrong, unfortunately. But we've got to continue to follow the intellectual evidence and the scientific evidence and the journalistic evidence. And I just go with the facts. And he could be a lone nut, but everything points towards it being staged. And you see Texas about to lead the country towards states' rights. You see the staged attacks on Medina. Jason Douglas, your comments on this. I mean, I want your real opinion. Give me your real opinion. Working here a year, seeing all this, seeing me say they're going to attack Austin. You watch the next attack, Austin. Could be an attack on a building. Could be a plane. It's confirmed federal informants are trying to provocateur people into bombing brave new books. I mean, this is real.
Yeah. I mean, all you can do really is there's so many different perspectives you have to look at the world in when you're looking through the InfoWars perspective. But the thing that really struck me was, and I was in the gaggle of journalists at the site, and they just kept going, I can't believe how fast this information is coming out. I mean, they were perplexed as to, you know, how they came up with this information so fast. And the last time I remember that happening was 9/11.
Wait a minute. You were with journalists, and they in Austin were like, how do they already know all this?
Right. Yeah. And that they're divulging it already. And then how careful ask
because normally they'll make you wait 6 weeks to find out if it's not when it's not staged, like the shooting at the Capitol, the guy shooting the gun, that didn't get any traction. I mean, real stuff gets ignored.
Right. Yeah, that barely made the news.
Continue. That's key what you just said.
Yeah, so they were flabbergasted as to how.
Now, break it down. Where you were, the groups of media. I know you won't know their names. We have video of all this, but what they were saying.
Yeah, it was all the major groups. Fox was there. CNN was there. They were local people that were, you know, hired out, but that's what they were making comments on, how fast the information was being disseminated. And then I noticed that the press crew that came up, Acevedo and Leffingwell, they made it really clear that this was not a terrorist act. But then to know that all the headlines are, you know, making these Tea Party connections. So it's almost as if, you know,
they do that to gain credibility. Right. Like, oh, we're waiting.
Right.
But then, then an hour later, oh, it is a attack and your guns. Don't worry.
So it just seems like it's going through all the propaganda channels.
But the media was saying, how do they know this so early?
Yep. Well, the people there, they're not reporting it. You know, they're just
mentioning. No, but describe it. You see reporters behind camera, people talking, pads of paper.
Oh, yeah. You know, we're all pressed in because that's how it is at those moments. You know, you're trying to interview one person and there's 60 media people on the side. And so you're all pressed in together. And I just hear all these comments. Where are they getting this information so fast? How come this is happening so fast? And it did. It just seemed like they were pouring out all of this information. But, you know, usually you're a lot more reticent to say anything, especially when you're in an official role. But then Acevedo kept making comments like, you know, irresponsible reporters who were saying that it wasn't his plane or it was his, you know, no one can make conjecture, but.
Well, he does that to be the authority. That Acevedo, he's something else.
Yeah, they're just planting little seeds.
So how many reporters, roughly? I mean, they were saying, how do they know so quick? Well, I mean, so they were suspicious?
Yeah, there was probably 25. There was more when I was there, because that's when the press crew first came out. So
you know, I'm going to do something. Instead of being interrupting, I want free flow. I did this with Ike today. I'm going to walk out for 5 minutes. And I'm going to come back to you. I want you guys to just talk about whatever you want right now. Go ahead.
Well, one quick thing. I just want hope the people out there just say a prayer for Joe's wife and daughter, because it sounds like they were in the house when it was put on fire and they got out. And we're taken away. So I feel really bad for them. And, you know, and then knowing Joe, I'm really finding it hard to believe that Joe did this. And that could be just me, you know, from knowing the guy. And other than that, taking the personal element out of it, you know, the neighbors, I thought it was interesting that the neighbors didn't really know the guy at all.
I thought it was interesting that they wouldn't even come to the door.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if something like that happened, I'd want to be sharing it with somebody.
Right. Or he was a great guy, or he was a mean guy, or whatever. You know, you'd think you'd want to be, you know, telling people. And it was really hard to get neighbors to talk. Only one guy would talk with us on camera, and he was the guy that called 911. So at least he thinks he was the first guy from his opinion. So that would be interesting to find out if he was the first guy that actually called 911, or if it was somebody else. Because he thought it was that they got there really quickly, because he was praising them for how fast they arrived on scene for the fire, the house fire.
That's all you keep on hearing on how fast the response time was. And I mean, 5 minutes during a fire can seem like a lot, but
yeah,
that's pretty quick.
That depended on where
call
the
to come in,
where the department is. But it was very very weird typing up Joe's name in the search engine and just seeing that picture, because that, you know,
that was haunting you all day, and you kept making the music association saying, yeah, is he a jazz musician? I mean, I know him.
Yeah. And it's, you know, and I hadn't seen him in a couple years, but he, you know, when I knew him and I talked to a guy, after I found that out, I called a guy that I knew him very well. And, he'd seen him, about 2 weeks ago, they were exchanging microphones because they were each doing different types of recording So, but he said, you know, out of everybody that he knew, Joe always seemed to have his stuff together compared to, you know, other musicians. And when you're in Austin, musicians usually don't have their stuff together. They're, you know, a ragtag bunch. But Joe always was clean cut, dressed neat. And, you know, maybe that's, you know, if he was some sort of double agent or some sort of agent, then, you know, I never saw it. So it's going to be very interesting to see what they come out and say about, you know, when it's somebody you don't know, you have a totally different perspective of it, because my perspective has changed since, you know, knowing that I knew the guy. Right.
Just to interrupt, I want you guys to go another 5 minutes or so, but go back to those reporters first, because okay. That's key, that reporters think back to exactly what they were saying, Jason and Rob, because that's key, that they were saying this is weird, because the public doesn't know how reporting works, that an hour and a half after it happens, how do they already know all this?
Right. And these guys were, you know, they knew exactly.
And then go back to the house and the neighbors. I mean, let's really debrief, really think of things you didn't think of.
Why don't you go first?
Go back to your memory. Think of what you didn't talk about.
All right. You were at the you hit that press conference area first, so yep. What were they talking about in the press conference when you got there?
So when I first walked up, you know, there was a gaggle of journalists and their camera people, and they were shooting the building. So I walk around the side and tried to find a good shot. As soon as I got there, I noticed that, you know, there was a large group of official people walking up. It was Acevedo, Leffingwell, this fire chief. And so I squeezed into the gaggle trying to get in to get their comments. And as they were, you know, giving us all the points that they had previously agreed to let go. I, you know, you just kept hearing these whispers like, boy, this is really quick. I can't believe this stuff is coming out so quickly. And they just seemed really surprised at how this was unfolding.
Yeah. And when I got there, I was trying to go around a different way, and I got stopped, so I came back around, and I got a tail end of they were doing an interview with the fire chief, and she was, you know, talking about how they had the fire pretty much under control. They were going to start going in and looking around, but at the time, somebody said, were you afraid the building was going to collapse? And she said, oh, yes, we were definitely afraid. We've seen this happen before.
Right. And she made it sound very plural, though.
Yeah, that it,
so
that
this
it,
was, you know, a very common thing now.
Right, right. And, that,
and she I even made it sound weird. Like it was now. Like, nowadays, steel does melt a lot easier than it used to.
Yeah. we're making steel out of flour or something. Mm. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like Chinese steel.
But that whole situation was interesting. I taped a little bit of a guy who worked in the building. They were on one of the top floors, and they, you know, when they said when it happens, you know, they had done drills before, you know, once a month they do a drill for evacuation. And, you know, he ran around, they were telling people to get out of the building, get out of the building, get out of the building. And, you know, they cleared out their floors. I'm trying to think if I remember anything else from that area. I do remember seeing that car. There was a car, at least 60 yards, 50 or 60 yards from the crash site.
Smashed in.
And it had
window.
Smashed in windows.
It looked like a little scorched,
front.
Too.
Yeah. So something, I don't know.
But there's
who
no
was
parking
in that
right
car.
There. I mean, that's,
no,
a, that's
it,
a frontage.
It was a road. So obviously somebody was driving up. They might have been hit or something closer on, yeah. Closer, and then drove forward a little bit to get out of the way, then got out of their car and ran.
Right.
But I don't know. I mean, there was a couple cops around the car, but that car was behind the police line, and, you know, it wasn't leaving. The parking lots of those businesses, they had shut off to people. When we got there, we were on the back side of the building, on the south side, and that's where most of the people had gathered, and they were just kind of waiting to see what was happening. And at one point, an FBI agent and a police officer came up, and they were taking people in groups of five to their cars and inside the building if they had to go get their stuff. But they weren't letting them take their cars. They were still keeping that closed off.
Walking them.
You know, I don't know if they were checking them out or how that was working. So then we got the text from Craig giving us Joe's address, and I'd never been to his house. I'd always seen him either at practice or at the gig, and so I had no idea, you know, where he lived. But we get there, and it's a, you know, middle class neighborhood, you know. No seems like they probably have the HOA in effect, because nobody had any political signs or anything anywhere out like that.
Very manicured.
I did notice Joe had a, it looked like he had a ton of papers and stuff in his garage, you know, like he didn't use the garage for the car. He used the garage as a, yeah, as a storage area. And that looked like, you know, cause I'm sort of a pack rat myself. So I always notice those things.
Well, the media is already saying he's basically a Tea Partier, as we knew they would do before the media even said this was happening, which is the evidence of it being staged and my hunch being correct. We'll continue to cover this at 11 a.m. tomorrow, continuing tonight at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Anything else you gentlemen want to add?
I thought it was interesting that the neighbors really didn't know the guy. You know, he had been there for 3 years is what they said. One lady had moved in 4 years ago, and she said he moved in about a year after. Another guy had been there 15 years, and he moved, you know, he said, yeah, you know, I'd seen the daughter and the wife, but I never saw the guy. I never saw Joe. So I don't know if that – if that just seems odd. Joe was always, you know, personable. He wasn't outgoing, but he was never rude to people. I never saw him, you know, act like that. But he was, you know, kind of an intense, introspective type guy who seemed to be very intelligent, very, very intelligent. Like I was, you know, always kind of taken aback by his being able to throw out, you know, different key changes from songs that he'd been, you know, played 20 years ago. He's like, oh yeah, that goes to this, this, and this. You know, so he, and he definitely had some, you know, musical talent. He was a bass player and a keyboard player.
Well, whatever happened, we're going to try to get to the bottom of it, and we hope this isn't a false flag, but the evidence is unfortunately all pointing that direction. We're going to go back to rebroadcast, ladies and gentlemen, for all the Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com listeners, at 11 a.m. tomorrow. We'll continue to cover this. Why is it important? Not only has he died and somebody else is missing and two injured, they're going to use this to demonize the American people and the Tea Parties. As I predicted at the start of the show, before they even said it was Tea Party, it's now all over the news. This is the direction they're going in. This is just the second. We know the underwear bomber was staged. This appears to be staged. If this is confirmed, we're in deep trouble. The UN's now saying that there's a secret nuke in Iran. They want to go to war. They're moving the battle fleets into position. This is a very serious time to be alive. The bankers have been revealed as the shadow criminal government. The U.S. is in a depression. The world knows that. Europe's going into a depression. They need to stage crises to make themselves the saviors. This is perfect timing. I'm seeing media coordination from the neocons and stage liberal media. This looks bad. We'll continue to break it down. We're not backing off. We're going in through and beyond this storm. Great job, crew. See you back live tomorrow, 11 a.m.